Ladies and gentlemen, coming to you from a secret bunker somewhere in the United Kingdom, it's the James Whale Radio Show. Here we go. Thank you very much indeed for joining us. We're here on air, of course. JamesWhaleRadio.co.uk. James Whale Radio coming out of your favourite radio station. We are all over the world. We broadcast to every nation, to every country. We broadcast to the universe. In fact, Robbo, is there anywhere we do not broadcast to? We, in fact, even broadcast to the Principality of Wales, both north and south.
I think Bolton have difficulties.
Do they? Do they really? Well, if there is a radio station in Bolton that would like to take this program, get in touch. JamesWhaleRadio@gmail.com. Now, lots to talk about today. This program, I'm actually making this broadcast to the world just before we get the election results of the Police and Crime Commissioner and the local authority. So there are one of two things. It could have been a piss-poor turnout, and if it was, then we've only got ourselves to blame for not voting. There may well have been a landslide towards UKIP, or in fact, UKIP could have disappeared without trace. We could have people in charge of our police forces around the country who know absolutely nothing about it, because if you've got £5,000 to spend, then you can stand as a police and crime commissioner if you can afford to lose £5,000. And with luck, you know, you might even get in. I think last time, the first time that there was an election for the PCC, there was about a 15% turnout. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, had I been bothered to put myself forward for my local police and crime commissioner, there would have been a possibility that I could have won, and that today I could be talking to you from my new role as Police and Crime Commissioner, with the ability to hire and fire the Chief Constable of the area that I represent. Now, this is fictitious, but to all intents and purposes, this could have happened. I could have been in control of a police force. What do you think about that?
Would you be able to get me off speeding tickets?
I could do whatever I like. Wow. I'm sure. I could do whatever I like. I could say I'm going to have more bobbies on the beat, even though that's not the best and most cost-effective way of policing nowadays. I could have done that if I wanted to.
Is there enough bobbies? I mean, not everyone's called Robert.
No, well, maybe there are not enough Johns on the beat either. I could have scrapped cyber crime forces. I could have done anything I wanted. That's the whole stupid thing about it. And I don't really have to have any kind of knowledge of policing at all. One PCC's she's not standing this time, but in one area of the country, the PCC was a vet.
Yvette?
A vet, not Yvette, a vet.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's how stupid it is. That's how ridiculous it is. I'm not against elected people, of course, like that. A very good idea. But there ought to be some criteria where the person who puts themselves up, or, you know, you can be and have been put up in most areas by the political party. So you get a political police and crime commissioner if the choice of the parties gets in. But there are lots of independent people in as well. But at the moment, of course, because we're recording the programme the day before the election results come out, in fact, today we're recording it, is the day that people are going to the polls. And if this programme was broadcast today, which it isn't, we would be in big doo-doo for talking about the election. So that's entertaining me a little bit as well.
Can criminals become this police person?
I don't know. I would imagine that you have to have a fairly spotless record.
It's just that they would be the best qualified people, surely.
Well, there's always that thought, Robbo. There's always that thought, isn't there? But, you know, the world is a mad and stupid place, to be honest with you.
It is.
And that's what my whole broadcast today is going to be about.
Okay.
The world is a mad and stupid place. I was listening to another radio station the other day, and they were doing a fascinating discussion with a woman whose name I forget, but if I can remember it, I'll try and get her on as a guest. And she's written a book about being offended and how everybody now gets offended. And if, for argument's sake, she was talking about students and students' unions, well, they get, poor little darlings, they get bloody offended by almost anything. And if they get offended by something, then they ban them from coming to the university or giving talks or being involved in a discussion. So they ban them. And people, if you take the piddle out of somebody, then somebody says, that's bullying. You can't talk to Rob, your producer, in that. The way you talk to Rob on your program, I had an email from a woman the other day, said, I've listened to your podcast, a radio show, and you just bully that poor Rob.
I like it, though.
He loves it. And that's what I said. He gets some sort of pseudo-sexual kick out of it. And so we continue on. But that, in my mind, that isn't bullying. I mean, I'm sorry, but that isn't bullying. That's a bit of friendly banter. And in this day, and this lady, I wish, Claire O'Connor, I can't remember her exact name, but never mind. I'm sure it'll come back to me. But I must get the book and read it after hearing the interview. And the book is all about, you know, we love to be offended. Something like that. And that's right, isn't it? People just love to complain and be offended. And if I say something on the radio, and if I'm working for the BBC or if I'm working for Sky or whatever, and I say something there, some people get terribly offended. But unless I say something illegal, like Rob is a raving pervert and he's been carrying on with a ballerina or so, I don't know, and that's completely wrong, then that's illegal and you could sue me.
It's a traffic warden, it's not a ballerina.
Right, okay, sorry. But anyway, I'd have shut up about that if I were you. But it's a really good point. People just love to be offended. This day and age, people love to be offended. And it was like a liberation to me because I say quite a few wind-up things. You know, I was threatened the other day by, is it the Times of Tunbridge Wells?
Yeah.
Where they put a story on the front page of their papers. And if you like, get in touch with them. Go and look at it. And I'm sure you can Google the front page. You can probably still find it. Did we put it out on our website?
I think we took a screenshot of the webpage. I think so.
Oh, good. We'll go and have a look. It'll be there somewhere, won't it?
Mm.
Yeah. and they actually, big headline, because I do a Saturday morning show for BBC Radio Kent, where I'm me, basically, and just go on the air and have a bit of a laugh, as you know, Robbo.
Indeed, yes.
And so it resulted the other day in big headlines from the paper, James Whale sacked by the BBC for racial abuse of
Australians.
Oh, yes, Australians. Yes, racially abused an Australian. And what I said was, in jest, woman came in to be interviewed about an amateur dramatics thing, which is a little bit dull, like all amateur dramatics, all very dull, like hospital radio, very dull and unnecessary and fairly pointless, because we're in your hospital. The last thing you want is amateurs trying to be radio broadcasters, isn't it? So anyway, I digress slightly. Well, that will have offended people too, by the way. Stick it up, you what's it, and tough. And so people love to be offended. And so some stupid, snotty-nosed little journalist trying to make a name for themselves, who still hasn't apologised to me, so I might sue his bottom, put this headline out, and it got copied by a few papers. There's a bit of publicity, and to be honest with you, great. As long as they're talking about you, it doesn't matter. Well, they wanted people to be offended by the fact I said to an Australian, do you know, you've done a lot of harm to the English language. And then proceeded to go on just taking... And see, so you're in this play, are you? Oh, yeah, I'm in the play, right? I said, you come over here, you take our jobs. And so that was people love to be offended. Now, unless you say something that is illegal, then I'm afraid, stop being offended. Political correctness has now got to the stage where some people, some very stupid and very ignorant people, think that they can control how we think and how we speak. You can't. But unfortunately, lots of kids, lots of very young kids, quite a lot of them at university, which means they don't really have much experience of anything except being offended, and probably they were bullied at school. are now taking exception to anybody saying anything and complaining about it. But hey, I have news for you all. We live in a free country. And unless you break the law, then you are allowed to say anything within reason that you want. I couldn't go on here and start using F words and various other things because that would be unnecessary and that would be childish in my view. But I can suddenly say, well, I don't think I like the way the Australians talk about us because, quite frankly, the Australians are always having a go at the Brits. Now, I might offend a few Australians, but tough, we live in a free country. And I might say that I think Donald Trump is going to be the most appalling president of the United States of America. And quite frankly, he should never be allowed back into this country. Now, that could offend a few people, but it's my opinion. You're not allowed to have opinions out. And lots of people are confusing being offended with people having an opinion. Just because your opinion and my opinions don't coincide, if I say something that you don't agree with, you have not got the right to say, oh, you shouldn't be allowed to say that. Do I make myself clear?
Is the word crystal, I think.
Because you're very quiet.
I wouldn't want to interrupt you.
When I'm on a flow. Quite rightly. So anyway, I think this is a really good point. I think political correctness, which we talk about, has just become stupid. The other day I was doing on another radio show talking about bingo.
Pardon?
Bingo.
The game?
Yep.
Right.
Duck and crutch. What?
You're making that up. Duck and crutch.
You Google, what is what number in a bingo game is duck and crutch?
Oh, I see. Is it like the rhyming thing?
No, well, no. Duck and crutch.
Duck and crutch. Duck would be two, and crutch would be what number looks like it's bending.
Seven.
All right, 27.
27 is duck and crutch.
Right. Okay.
Right, and all sorts. 11 legs. 11.
All the fours. 28.
Yep. All the fours. 28. two fat ladies.
Need a diet.
88 looks like two fat ladies. Now,
shouldn't it be 66?
Say again?
Shouldn't it be 66?
Why?
Oh, I see. You're glued in the top half there. Okay, all right.
No. Two, as far as bingo is concerned, two fat ladies are 88. Now, this will offend some people.
Right.
I'm sorry, we're having a bit of a laugh about this. But if it does offend you, then, of course, jameswellradio@gmail.com. jameswellradio@gmail.com. And sometimes people complain to the BBC radio stations I work on. And the BBC sometimes get quite upset about it. But there we are. They get upset about everything, to be honest with you, from time to time. So where was I?
Sat in your chair talking to us.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, so the whole thing about bingo is, anyway, I was discussing this because 45 million people go to bingo every year in this country.
Right.
And I got a call from somebody whose father-in-law had won £213,000 on a bingo game. Somebody else had won £88,000. There's money to be made in bingo, mate.
Are you telling me to go and play bingo?
I'm thinking about it myself. But I was talking to a rather dull bingo caller, and I said, let's have some, I did the duck and crutch on him. He had no idea. And I said, what about two fat ladies? Oh, we can't do two fat ladies, James. No, he said, you can't do it. And he was rather camp. You can't do two fat ladies. I said, why not? Oh, no. I've been told not to by my boss. I can't do, you can't do that legs. No. No, you will offend people.
Everyone's got legs, more or less.
You see, no, but this is the point. You might offend somebody. But there's no law against. In fact, offence in many ways is good to get a response from somebody.
Yep.
Because we're breeding a generation of kids who every time somebody does something to upset them, they go crying to their mummy or daddy, and their mummy or daddy goes down the school or somewhere and starts trying to put it right, and the kids can't manage themselves. We're going to have a very limp and a rather appalling group of kids who've come out of school and into university. Every time somebody says something, oh, you can't say that. Why? Oh, I don't like it. I don't agree with it. You can't say that. But that's what I think. Oh, but I'm upset. You can't upset me. I mean, there are people trying to sue people because, oh, well, I was upset and I felt very threatened because of something she said or he said. So I think this is a discussion we should have. You know, it used to be that I could go on the radio and really let wind people up, and because society has gone in a bit. But I've never been what they call a shock jock. I say things that need to be said, which is what I'm saying now, and I'm not, and I say it sometimes in a robust way to get some kind of response, because I could come and say, "What do you think it is to be offended? We should, you know, just because somebody doesn't agree, they really shouldn't complain, because you wouldn't get any response being like that. You've got to be a little look. Here we are. Look at somebody like Nigel Farage, who communicates and connects with people, whether you like what he says or you don't. He is a good orator. He gets you to think and he gets you to respond. Now, you can't agree with everybody. We can't live in a beige and pastel world together, can we? We can't.
No, we can't, no.
So there has to be a little confrontation. Confrontation doesn't have to end up with fisticuffs. That's the problem. Even now, in the 21st century, we are still sorting our arguments in this world out with people killing other people. That's balmy. And it isn't the people who want to kill each other. It's the people who actually get themselves into a situation. I'm sorry, it's politicians. Politicians represent us, so therefore it is all of us who are at fault. And I come back to the original point of this argument, and that is that we're all too easily offended. If you get offended, then stand up for yourself. And if you can't stand up for yourself, then stop being offended. You know, if somebody says something you really don't agree with, then walk away. Don't have anything to do with them if that's easier for you. Or state the point that you feel is wrong. And then, of course, we might be able to get to a solution of some of our problems in this world without war. That would be nice, wouldn't it?
It would.
And then you come on, I beg your pardon?
I said it would.
Yeah, it would. Yeah, no, absolutely it would. Am I going on too long or not?
No, you're doing fine.
No. Oh, okay, fine. I mean, if you want, anybody wants to get in touch with me, you can. JamesWorldRadio@gmail.com. This is the James World Radio Show. Nice to have you with us. I'm just on a bit of a thing about offence, because I heard somebody, if you just joined us on the programme, I heard somebody talking about this in a fabulous way, and they've written a book, and I can't remember the name or the title of the book, but I will. It's called We All Want to Be Offended, or something along those lines. Just making the point that particularly amongst younger people now, they get very offended quite easily, and then they start saying, oh, you can't say that. And you say, what do you mean I can't say that? You can't say that, you might offend somebody. Well, tough. People get offended in this world. But you can have a difference of opinion. We live in a free society. We have free speech. You can say something that may be unpalatable to somebody else. You know, we're scared of saying something that may result in us being called racist. We're frightened of saying something. You know, I'll be quite honest with you. I and this is my own personal point of view. I have no time for religion. I'm not saying that I don't, you know, that I don't think there is a plan, that I don't think there is some sort of spirituality, and that I don't think that there is something that we don't understand. I don't know. In fact, when I look at the way the world and everything sort of interacts with everything else, then there does seem to be some kind of plan, doesn't there? And if, you know, talking to somebody the other day, if the moon wasn't exactly where it was between us and the sun, then life the way it is wouldn't exist on this planet. If certain things hadn't happened the way they have happened, then certain species would not be here. And of course, climates always change, so species come and species go. Now, whether that's to do with a god or not, or you want to call it a deity, I kind of like the sort of thoughts that the Native Americans and the Aborigines have of nature, if you like, being a guiding force. I don't know, but what I'm trying to point out is I am not without feeling. I am not without some sort of spirituality. What I cannot stand, and I'm sorry to say this, the organized religions of the world, the Christianities and the Islams, all right? Now, people say, you can't say anything about Islam. Why not? This is a free country. You know, are we to, and there are some nutters who follow religion. Islam now, Christianity back at the time of the Crusades. In fact, go to parts of America now and state that you're a homosexual and they will run you out of town. I mean, this is like the Middle Ages. Go to some countries, in the Middle East, and if they think you're gay, you won't be allowed into the country. That is barbaric in my view, but that offends some people. I'm sorry. You are small-minded and ignorant if you think somebody's sexuality is offending some higher species. And if you feel threatened by somebody because of the colour of their skin, you're an idiot. If you feel threatened by somebody because they have a religion or a belief that you don't share, you're an idiot as well. Now, I'm an idiot because I think those people who believe in the Quran and the Bible and any other, the Torah, I suppose, and they believe wholeheartedly that they have to do certain things or they will offend their God, that they have to wear certain clothes, eat certain food, do certain things, not do other things. You know, the massive debate we have about Sunday trading because it might offend a Christian. The enormous debate we have about not wishing anybody some religious holiday because it might offend a Muslim. And goodness only knows what we might do that offends other religions as well. I mean, I did a story once many years ago about a part of London where they had to tie fishing lines, apparently, between lampposts around a certain area so Orthodox Jews could go out on the Sabbath because then they would be protected in some way. Now, I'm sorry, but I cannot honestly believe that there is some sort of deity who's going to be worried about that or your sexuality or whether you work on a Sunday. But in a free country, you can believe anything you want. But I should also be allowed to actually question your belief and maybe poke a little fun at you. Because I've had Christians and various other people poke a little fun at me in arguments when we're doing this. I only, by the way, have to bring up Adam and Eve, and was doing that on a program not long ago where Christians were complaining that Christianity wasn't being taught properly in schools. And I said, it's not being taught properly. What do you mean it's not being taught properly? And they couldn't answer. And I said, do you want my children then to be taught that Adam and Eve is a fact? That you know, your God figure was a blonde, blue-eyed person who lived in the Middle East. You want that taught as a fact. Listen, if you want to live your lives that way, then that's fine. But we go back to this thing about offending and being offended. People seem to want to be offended. And as soon as they get offended because something you say doesn't sit right with their own philosophy and their thoughts, then they start getting all upset. And I think it's about time we fought back and said, look, you can believe what you like, you can say what you like to me, and I'm not going to get offended. Golly, if anybody should get offended, you should see some of the letters over the years I've received. If we all learn to live with each other and get on, then even all those people who are religiously inclined, like my brother and others, then, you know, we would all look after each other rather than only really wanting to look after the people who believe the same things that we do. Which seems to me to be fairly shallow, to be honest. And how boring it would be if you hung out only with people who agreed with you. Good thing about all my mates is we argue all the time and we all have different opinions about different things. And to be really sexist and put the cat amongst the pigeons, you know, a couple of my gay friends may argue about which is the best-looking bloke over there, or a couple of my straight friends might argue which is the best-looking woman. But we all have different points of view, do we not?
Yes.
And I'm glad that I prefer dogs. No. But, you know, quite often, dogs to people.
Well, they are.
And
cute.
That can be offensive, but I get more love and more companionship out of my dogs than I do out of a lot of human beings.
Me too.
You too.
Yeah, I love my dog.
I like you too, yeah. What was their big hit?
Something about rattling and humming.
Oh, yeah. I seem to have gone on a long time. I do apologise. This is the James Whale Radio Show. You can pick us up on this radio station. You can get us, of course, online. Go to my Twitter feed at The James Whale or James Whale Show. And you can hear us directly there, can't you?
You can indeed, yes.
In fact, trillions and billions tune in every week. And if you are a new listener, there are hundreds and hundreds of other shows. Check out the website, download them, listen to them. When are we going to get an app?
The app is working. It's it just needs to be published to the App Store.
Well, why don't we do that?
Well, that involves
should we charge checking. £100 an app or something?
£100 an app, yeah.
What do they charge for an app?
About 79p.
Is that all?
Mm.
Oh, okay. Should we make it free for a week or so?
We could do, but we've got to publish it first.
All right. I'll leave that to you. Mm. I'll leave that to you. So anyway, you got any thoughts on offending people? And, you know, I don't want to offend people so they get all upset. I want to put my opinion about something, and then I want to hear what your opinion about it is. It's easy, isn't it?
It is. I always say, if you're going to take offence, go to a garden centre.
Ba-boom.
That's Basil Brush.
Oh, is it? Okay.
All right. Boom, boom.
Shall we take a commercial break now, or what should we do? Or should we carry on?
Should we play some music?
We could do. We got a rather nice indie pop track from Matinee, haven't
we? Yes, we have, yes.
Yeah. What do you think of this one?
This is I like this. It falls into my easy listening bracket.
Does it?
Yes. Yeah.
I'm looking for more music to play on the programme. If you are a new band, we're looking for new talent. We're always looking for new talent. If that's you, get in touch with us. JamesWhaleRadio@gmail.com is the email address, and maybe we can have your band on the programme next week. In the meantime, Matinee are empty. There we are. That was Matinee and Empty. Quite like that. Inoffensive.
It's definitely inoffensive, yes.
Inoffensive? I'd rather hear some heavy metal or a bit of reggae or a bit of soul. But, you know, I like to reflect all tastes of music. I have carnal knowledge. No, that's not the right word.
Carnal knowledge. Isn't that Graham Norton's old show?
Is it? I don't know. Oh, dear. Talking about offended, being offended, you know, the other day, of course, everybody was supposed to be keeping their children off school to boycott the government's new idea for SATs tests. And everybody's been getting very hot under the collar about that. And here's my thoughts on it. And you can be as offended as you like. I think obviously you have to test. But I asked government minister the other day, when you get the results of these tests, what are you going to do with them? To which there was silence. And I said, well, if you're going to test children, yeah, we want to know how things are going. I said, well, what are you going to do with the results? If there are some, we need to do this because we want to make sure that we don't have as many people leaving school unable to read and write. Well, then you need to stop worrying about tests and make sure that people learn to read and write. And it can't be beyond the capability of schools to sort that out. Because if you say, and a lot of it has to do with, in my view, and this is my view, and if you're offended, you know what you can do. But you can email me and tell me why it's wrong. And we've got some, and I'll share them with you in a moment. But if you can't read and write, you can't move up to the next level. I went through school because I'm dyslexic, but when I was at school, you were just stupid or thick. I managed to leave school without being able to write very well. And you can find ways of avoiding it. And in the end, teachers get fed up and don't bother with you. And I presume that still happens now. Well, it might be difficult and it might be tiring, but that's how you make sure people do not go through the school system without gaining the adequate literacy skills. You keep an eye on them. And it doesn't mean testing them all the time, because that seems to be pointless. You'll know in the class, each teacher will know in the class, the children who need a bit more help, and they need to be given a bit more help, surely. And also, maybe we send our children to school too early. In Finland, they don't go till 7, and Finland has a much higher standard of education than we do. So I asked the question on Facebook earlier, is boycotting school tests the right thing to do? And another thing is quite interesting. If you feel strongly about something, you have to make a stand, don't you?
Yes.
That's the whole point of it. If you feel strongly, you have to make your point known. And if 40,000 parents did keep their kids off school, then maybe people have to take note of what they're saying. But if you keep your child off school, then you'll get fined 50 quid, apparently, because if you wanted to take your little Johnny or Jill or out for Nana's funeral, you might be told you can't or you'll be fined. Well, apparently, schools were going to turn a blind eye to this. This whole thing about fining parents for taking children out of school in term time is a nonsense as well. But then I suppose, you know, we can all decide on who we want. This is the other problem democracy has. We decide we don't like the current lot of politicians because what they're doing with the education system and the health service, we go and vote them out, we get another lot on. And, maybe there ought to be 10 years where the schools and the health services are allowed to sort themselves out. I don't know if that's a good idea or not. I also think people who are not very good at their jobs in those sort of industries should be sacked quite publicly and not re-employed as they are now in other schools or hospitals. But there we are. That might have offended a few people too. Jan Trim says, something somewhere is failing when children get to college and cannot read or write and need teaching assistance to perform those tasks for them. Mm. Well, if you're dyslexic, you're going to have a real problem, Jan, and it has to be helped. I don't think tests, in my view anyway, I don't think tests are the answer. I think it's just the politicians that are actually sort of floundering around. But then maybe we get people put into positions. You've got Nikki Morgan in as the Minister for Education, and she doesn't seem to be very popular, and she doesn't actually seem to know what she's doing. Didn't she the other day complain bitterly that teachers were sexist because they booed her at a teachers' conference? Well, they boo everybody. You know, why would that be sexist? I don't know. Right, Dave Hill says, boycotting the test teaches the children what exactly? That it's okay to boycott any exam they find hard when they get older? Dave, that's the most stupid, ridiculous thing I've ever heard. And at the risk of offending you, Dave, no, but it probably does help parents to make a point to the school. And it may well be that teachers generally have agreed with it, because I haven't met many teachers who think that the tests of the 6 and 7 year olds are actually productive in any way, shape or form. But hey, that's just my point of view, and we live in a free country. Jill Callan says, anyone remember the days when teachers taught? I went to school in the 70s and learned to read and write, learned about history and multiple religions, English language and English literature, metalwork and woodwork, two sciences and mathematics. Oh, and not to forget what was then called home economics cookery. Youngsters today appear to be taught very little about many of the above, and even less about respect. So what do they actually do all day at school? We had exams every year and had to sit them, or that was it. So, simple question, when they get into their teens, will they be expecting mum and dad to stage a strike on their behalf when they feel stress? You see, Jim, I think you're an idiot as well. Sorry to be rude, Jim, but quite frankly, I went to school in the 50s, so I think I'm older than you, and I could escape almost all those lessons, and most of them were rather boring and fairly dull. There was not really as much respect around either. We used to take the mick out of the teachers when they weren't looking. And respect today, there seems to be a lack of respect. I'll tell you why, Jim, because every kid thinks, because their parents tell them, that they can't be told off by anybody. And it might well be that a parent showing that they're so concerned about the education of their children that they keep them off and explain to them why they're keeping them off may actually be good for the generation ahead. So what do you think of that, Jim? You know the address. You've emailed me once. Oh, no, you went on Facebook. But email the show, jameswellradio@gmail.com.
That's correct.
jameswellradio@gmail.com. Forgot for a moment where I was. So, we had exams every year. We set them. I managed to get out of more school than I care to remember because I hated it. I hated school. But it's important. School is very important. Education is important. I didn't like it because, as I said, I didn't understand it. I'm not very academic, or I wasn't then, and there wasn't anybody who understood. We understand a bit more now, but we don't seem to allow our children to fend for themselves. In fact, to be honest, I think parents are far too protective of their children now, and we are continually frightening our kids out of learning their way through life, aren't we? Brett Moss. So interesting how it's all the blokes who are getting in touch here. Brett Moss says, I think the reason parents took kids out of school is that they know the kids they have could not pass the test. There's a lot of idiots around them. This is on Facebook, isn't it, of course? Darren Blunt says, don't tell all those how good stuff was back in the day. I was taught through to 87 and had books that still had imperial measurements, classrooms that leaked on your heads and no heating. Add in a maths teacher who sat in the corner and cried in every lesson for 3 years. It was bloody fantastic. You probably went to the same school as me, but later on. Gary Elmo, the whole country is tied up with this, oh, look, another pointless award mentality. The kids are suffering and will continue to do so. Stats and tables do not mean a healthy society. They simply mean we are getting more like America. Looks great on the outside, rotten and putrid underneath. Gary, I think I have to agree with you, mate. I really do. I think you probably hit the nail on the head. Rich Kent says, it's putting unnecessary stress on a child at a time when school should be fun. Such assessments are not about the child, but more about the school and the quality of the education being delivered. Manon Williams says, we need to take a leaf out of Finland's book. Shorter school years, let them be children. Loads of you getting in touch. Thank you very much indeed. And I think that parents have a duty to be parents to their children and not abdicate, whatever that word is, not very well educated, the responsibility to teachers. Yeah, that's what I think. Mm. I'm having a big thing about saying what I think today because, you know, when you say what you think, it sometimes offends other people, doesn't it?
I'm not offended yet.
Well, I'm not doing hard enough. Well, let's offend you by doing tech talk.
Okay. I've got tech talk and film talk this week.
Have you? Oh, tech talk and film talk. Mm. Ladies and gentlemen, producer Rob will now do tech talk and film talk.
Have you seen the new hoverboard that's made the news this week?
No.
They've invented a hoverboard that actually does hover now without anything attached. It can go 93 miles an hour, fly up to 10,000 feet. Basically, a man standing on a board.
Hang on. 10,000 feet?
Yep.
Well, I hope you have to have a license for that.
Well, at the moment, he's flying it over a lake.
Have you got... Oh, you haven't got one. It's not in production.
It's not in production yet. It's called the Flyboard Air by Zapta Racing. They're the ones that made the one with the big water jet out the bottom of it, the next progression.
Oh.
They've made one now that is a proper hoverboard.
I'd like to... that would be... You'd need to wear a parachute, wouldn't you? 10,000 feet. In fact, 10,000 feet, you'd need oxygen, wouldn't you?
I think you'd need quite a lot of stuff.
Although you do a parachute jump, don't you, from 10,000 feet, so maybe not.
So in theory, the generation of kids now, that's what they're going to be travelling along in the future.
When they're not being offended.
Yeah.
I quite like the idea of that. How did you do with your hoverboard you got the other day?
I sent it back. I got a full refund.
Why?
Well, the majority of them explode, apparently, so I didn't want to take the risk.
Oh, right. Okay. Have you seen this new bicycle that has a sort of motor?
Is that the one they cheat in the Olympics and stuff with?
No, I don't know about that. And it's being advertised on the television. You know, it has a chain, but it's a different sort of chain. And it obviously going around generates some sort of electricity that can help you on the hills.
Yeah, you can get power assisted bicycles. I think Sinclair made one called the Zike, I think.
Oh, right. I don't know. It's just it's being heavily advertised. I thought we should get one and try it out.
Well, if it's available, I'll have a go. Oh. I'll go and try one out. Yeah.
Oh, here's some good news. Just before, we got more tech talk or are you into film talking?
We're doing film talk in a minute. What have you got?
Okay. No. I was talking the other day on the radio, another show, of course, you know, somebody did an interview. Where was that interview with me?
The Radio Today podcast. Yes.
Mm. Have we put that out yet? Or not?
We put it out separately. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Well, anyway. Because they ask me, why am I on the radio so often?
Because that's a job.
Well, I like being on the radio, you know, even when I'm not really getting paid for it like this. I quite like being on the radio. But people keep asking, we are actively working on a new TV show.
We are, yes.
Yeah. And as soon as we know more, we will let you know. And if you are interested, got any interesting topics you think might be good to feature on the show, we've had lots of people in touch. You know the address to get in touch with, Rob.
JamesWellRadio@gmail.com.
Thank you so much. Anyway, I was talking about caravans.
Oh, you're into caravans at the moment.
Well, I'm beginning to be drawn to... they're easy to take the pee out of. And they're annoying on the roads. But I caught this programme on television the other day, Britain's Best Caravanner, I think, or something.
I saw it, yes. Yeah, I know it, yeah.
And I'm I like to go away for weekends, but, you know, you get a bit fed up after a while in sort of hotels and guest houses and stuff like that. And I like to take the dogs. And, you know, it's not that much different to having a boat, is it? When you moor the boat up, and not that I have a boat, but I know people have little, you know, cabin cruisers on the river and stuff like that. I've got a friend who lives on a barge. And I thought, a caravan, you just stick it on the back of the car and you can go off and stay wherever you like within reason.
Indeed, yes.
And then when you go into the caravan, it's like going into the cabin of a boat, isn't it?
Well, you just pitch the caravan up, plug it into the mains and the water, and off you go.
Yeah. I mean, I've always been a bit concerned about the poo element of a caravan.
Yeah.
Because I don't like that sort of stuff.
Not many people do.
You know, if I could take a pill to get rid of it, I would. No, like the Queen does.
Oh, because I was going to say, what's that? What do they take to get rid of it? Laxatives. That's a pill to get rid of it.
Well, no, somebody once told me that the Queen doesn't do that sort of thing. And so she has a pill and so that she doesn't have to do that stuff.
Didn't they say the Queen had a valve fitted?
No, I've never heard that.
So she doesn't fart?
Oh, I don't know. God, that would be, wouldn't that be embarrassing at an investiture?
Yeah. She's getting old now, you know.
I award you, Mr. Whale, the MB... E?
You've just offended the royal family.
Oh, sorry. No, I'm a big royalist. They know we all fart, don't we? Let's be honest.
Yeah.
But the poo thing, apparently it all gets locked into sort of little cassettes. So you never, you never see it or smell it or whatever. It just, you know, it just gets emptied into a bin and you don't see it.
Right. So they're not chemical toilets anymore then?
I don't know, because I thought I can't just tip it all out. Oh, no. And that's what was stopping me. And now I'm seriously thinking about getting a caravan.
Would you get a caravan or a motorhome?
Well, now, that's a very good point, because Mrs. W said, oh, no, motorhome would be better. And I said, look, when you rock up at wherever you're going in your motorhome, and you want to go and look around the area where you are camping, okay?
Yeah.
Or staying would be a better description. I don't like the word camping so much.
Yeah.
So if you were, then you've got to drive around in the great big vehicle, haven't you?
Ah, but some motorhomes you can tow a little, like a buggy or something behind.
Yeah. Well, what's the difference to towing a caravan behind your car then?
Well, it's not a caravan then, is it?
You're being pedantic.
Yeah, but nobody likes a caravan, but a motorhome's cool.
Is it? Oh, right. Okay. Well, apparently you can get some very cool caravans. And they're not all rather fat, elderly people with rather strange but endearing names for their partners.
You've just offended all caravanners now.
Well, perhaps they need to be offended to improve and change their ways. Don't get me going. I'll start having a go at cyclists.
No, that's okay. You can insult them as much as you like.
Well, what about the Welsh language?
No, we'll drop that then.
you see, everybody wants to be offended. Nobody wants to hear a different point of view. Anyway, film talk.
Yes, I saw two films this week. Robinson Crusoe and Captain America: Civil War.
Well, let's talk about Robinson Crusoe, because I saw the original Robinson Crusoe a long time ago. And the problem with Robinson Crusoe is we all know the story.
Yeah, and you wouldn't know this story.
Why?
Well, it's a cartoon to start with.
I don't like cartoons.
And they've got rid of Friday and replaced him with Tuesday.
No, they didn't.
Yeah, he couldn't work Fridays anymore, so he can only work Tuesday. God.
And what about Ben Gunn?
No, he wasn't in it either.
He wasn't in it either. He was my favourite character.
So, yeah, it's basically a cartoon about a guy called Robinson Crusoe who gets stranded on an island and he has a trouble with cats.
I think I'll give that one a miss.
Okay, Captain America, Civil War.
Yeah.
The latest Marvel thing.
That's supposed to be very good.
It's boring, though. It's just another Marvel movie. They've done too many.
Hmm. Well, you see, you're a big fan. I watched Star Wars over the weekend.
The
new Star Wars movie.
Right.
Well, I fell asleep.
You've just insulted me now.
It's just dull.
I find that so offensive.
It's too long and it's too dull.
So you're not waiting to the one that comes out this Christmas then?
Well, it'll be the same. They're all the flipping same, aren't they?
Well, they can't be all the same. Well, they are.
Well, no, they are. They were, you know, Darth Vader wasn't nearly as scary as he was in the original. And Princess Leia, she hasn't aged well, to be honest with you. It was just dull.
Darth Vader.
The idea that these planets are all in the middle of the desert annoys me.
Well, they're all in space. Each planet's different.
Yeah, but they've all got huge deserts.
Not the planet Endor. That's a forest planet, and the planet Hoth is a snow planet.
Was it? Oh, right. Okay. Well, those must have been the bits I fell asleep in, because it just droned on.
Did you get to the bit where Han Solo got killed?
Did he get killed?
Yeah, he's dead.
I didn't know that. No, I must have slept through that as well. I just dropped off, and I thought, oh, yeah, okay, well, the first bit, and I've seen, the stirring music at the beginning and the great big spacecraft going across the screen. Well, I went to see the original Star Wars in the cinema.
Yeah.
And that was good, but everything since it's just been another version of it, hasn't it, really?
This is a remake of the original Star Wars, realistically, yeah.
Yeah. It was just a bit dull.
Well, there's not much I could do for
you. Did you enjoy it?
It's a very good movie.
Yeah. The acting wasn't very good. It was all predictable stuff. Some of the sort of monsters that were in the cafe, you could see the bits of rubber moving on them. So what's to like, really?
It's okay. If you don't like it, you don't like it. It's not your cup of tea, is it, really?
Yeah, I don't want to offend you.
No, no, you can say what you like. I'm not bothered.
Yeah, good, good. Now you're taking the huff and you've got to go and cry in the corner, aren't you? Because you can't think of a good response because you know it's pants.
I'm going to go and phone my Jedi friends. We may go out on strike.
Yeah, and there's a ridiculous thing. Oh, I'm a Jedi. Really? You're a nutcase. You believe in an imaginary world where people sort of are ridiculous.
I might not put this show out.
Yeah, well, that's up to you. I might not do another one. So, you know, sort of thing.
Can we move on now?
No, all right. What do you want to move on to? Did you do? Was that it? Those two movies you didn't like, and then you get the hump when I say that I thought the Star Wars movie was dull, and sadly, I thought the new James Bond movie was dull too. Not as dull, by the way, as Star Wars, but still quite dull.
The new James Bonds are dull. Yeah, I agree with you.
Well, the last one, but this, not this one, but the last one was good. I enjoyed that.
Which one was that one? Skyfall?
I can't remember the names of them.
Is that the one where Judi Dench dies?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that was all right.
Yeah. Not that we dislike Judi Dench, but yeah.
I think she's great.
Right, have we got round to questions, haven't we? I think.
Can we do this thing that we started a few weeks ago?
Thing was that?
Finish the sentence.
Yeah. Have you worked long and hard on it?
Well, it's been on my notes for weeks. We started a thing that said finish the sentence, and we put out a sentence, and then we expected people to reply, and they did, and then we never got back to doing it.
Oh, sorry about that. That's my fault then, obviously.
It is your fault, yes.
Yeah. So here we go. Rob's new feature for the James Whale Radio Show. Finish the sentence. You know what they say.
There we go.
So Dave Benjamin says, they say, if you build it, he will come. So I built it. And he came. But he came, made me take it down again, as I didn't have planning permission. And that's the last time I listened to What They Say. Well, that worked well, didn't it?
It did.
You know, that was very good. Darren Smith, remember, you have to finish the sentence, you know what they say. You know what they say. You can't lose a homing pigeon. If your homing pigeon doesn't come back, then what you've lost is a pigeon. I like that one. That's good. This is getting better. If you want to have a go, feel free. Send some more in. You know what they say. When in Rome, keep your hands in your pockets. Jez Lonsdale says, you know what they say. Dirty pants, clean body. That's disgusting, Jez. Go to the back of the class. Matt Compton, you know what they say. Like your company, don't like your hours. What else we got here? We've got loads. Andy Matty says, you know what they say? If you use poo for putty, your windows will fall out. There's a little... No. Let's do one more. Daryl Lee Ransom. You know what they say? There are only three types of people in the world. Those that can do maths and those that can't. So that's quite good. Quite enjoyed that. So this week, what is the sentence? Finish the sentence, and what is it?
This week's one is, that's the last time I ... And just email in your answers or answer it on Facebook if it gets posted, and we'll try and read them out somewhere in the future.
Okay. So don't forget, check out the shop, jameswhaleradio.co.uk. Go and have a look on our website. You can look in the shop. Rob's put out some new TV moments, I think, from some of the old television shows as well.
Yes, I have. Some from 1989.
Golly gosh, that goes back quite a long way, doesn't it? 1989, I was young, had long hair. And there we are.
Mm.
Yeah. So, what are we finishing off on, as usual?
Some questions.
Yeah. Oh, you didn't even send me those, did you? Oh, yes, you did.
I did. They're on the front page. I always send you them.
Yeah. I noticed that most of the stuff this week, apart from Karen Clift, who asks me, why is the moon round? Karen, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you, yes.
Okay. Karen asked me, why is the moon round? Quite simply, Karen, if you looked out of your house at the moon and it was square, it wouldn't be as romantic, would it?
So that's why the moon's round.
That's why the moon is round. It fits in better to our life, because in nature, there are no straight lines.
Okay.
All right?
All right.
Okay. But everybody else is a bloke. Right, go on, then let's do the questions.
Mark Swain. Is David Cameron a reptilian from the planet Zoid?
Only if you're a nutter.
So that's a yes, then. Right. John Scott, what is your favourite film genre and favourite actor? Keep up the good work, James.
John, how lovely you are, John. Well, my favourite actor for many years was John Wayne, and I liked cowboy movies. But I like all sorts of movies. One of my favourite movies is a movie called, and I forgot. Do you know, I've forgotten now for a moment. Where the heck is it? I'm in my room with all my movies around the walls in here, and I'm just looking for it, and I can't find it. But anyway, it's one of those sort of, gosh, what was it called? It's the name of a Japanese martial artist, but it's actually it's an action suspense movie filmed in France, and I can't remember. God. I can't remember. It's a bit like The Transporter. You know, the first ever Transporter movie? I thought that was brilliant too.
Yes, that's a good film.
Yep. And I like the star of that. Whose name is?
Jason Statham.
That's it. I like Jason Statham. Yeah. Mm. I like movies that make you think a little bit as well.
Okay.
And as long as they have a good car chase in it, that's good for me. Or Cowboys. I haven't seen a good cowboy film, I suppose, since Brokeback Mountain.
I've never seen that film.
It's a good film. You probably wouldn't understand it.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. On with the questions. Thank you.
Okay. Damo McCoy.
Yep.
Look at the expiry date on any packet of crisps or biscuits. It will be a Saturday. Why is that?
Probably because most of them are bought on a Monday.
It also says here, oh, Rob, when reading out my name, you always say Damo. It's pronounced Damo. Thanks.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, well, now I know. Thanks, James.
Change your flipping name if I were you.
Yeah.
What's wrong with Smith?
Nothing's wrong with Smith, because I don't want to offend him. Right, Dave Hills, why do I bother?
Is that the question?
Yes.
Well, what's the... Stupid man, Dave Hills, the idiot. Why do you bother, Dave? If you didn't, just imagine where you would be now.
Yes, at his mum's house, waiting for his breakfast, probably.
Mm. Yeah.
Gary Napier.
Is that not Napier?
It could be. We've covered all
bases. I would have thought it probably was Napier.
Gary.
You had the university education.
I did. I didn't attend much, though, to be fair.
No, you didn't, obviously.
Should we make fun of royals in sitcoms?
I think that's fine. In fact, in sitcoms, you can make fun of anybody. And if you get offended by somebody taking the mick out of you, then you need to grow a pair and get a thicker skin. Goes back to the whole tone of today's programme.
Okay. Martin Cross. Here we go. This will cheer you
but
up.
But there's a way of taking the mick as well, and there's a way of just going over the line. I think what you need to know is where the line is.
Next to the
and one of the things about the royal family is you have to be very careful. Because they can't get back at you. You know, in the old day, good old days, they could have put you in the tower, lopped off your head, but now that's not permitted.
Good Saturday night TV, that, though, wouldn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Well, I wouldn't think so. I mean, I'm against that sort of violence and stuff.
It'd all be special effects and everything. It wouldn't really chop that.
Would it? Oh, right, no. Okay. Well, that's all right then, isn't it?
Yeah. Martin Cross. Just seen the new Star Wars film on DVD. Here we go. Very disappointed with the main villain. He wasn't Darth Vader, by the way. He was Darth Vader's grandson. But there we go. You weren't watching.
Oh, was he?
Yeah.
And he looked really quite dull when he took his mask off as well, didn't he?
He did, yes. James would have been perfect as the new Darth Vader replacement.
Yeah.
With the menacing voice.
I could have done the heavy breathing.
Go on, then.
Yeah. And I like the way Martin finishes this, all hail the whale. It used to be my one of my jingles.
Can I hear your heavy breathing?
I won't tolerate that behavior anymore, Rob. If you're not careful, you will find the dark side.
Wow. Okay.
That was arguably better than the whole of that bloody movie. I think that's it, really, because I've got a caravan outside to go and look around, so I better go and check that out before I do anything else.
I think you need to go and get an oxygen tank first.
Well, that was acting, you twallop.
Right.
Mom.
You've just called me a twallop.
Yeah, well, you have been a twallop. Listen, got to go. Thank you very much indeed for tuning in. Hope you weren't too offended. But if you were, then join us again. Same time, same place. You don't have to wait till next week's programme. There's over 100 hours you can immerse yourself in. And let's face it, if you listen to all of them, then the one you listen right at the beginning is so long ago now that you've probably forgotten what was in it, and it might be worth listening to it again.
Not the first one, the second one.
Why?
I didn't like the first one.
I can't even remember the first one. I'll have to go back and have a listen to that now.
Don't. It's terrible.
Is it?
Oh, yeah.
Well, take it down then.
Okay.
Take it off and then we'll be fine. Right, see you next time. Gotta go. Bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.
You're listening to the James Whale Radio Show. For more information, visit www.jameswhaleradio.co.uk. Why not check us out on facebook.com/JamesWhaleRadioShow or follow James on Twitter @TheJamesWhale. James Whale, the voice of reason.